From the studios of Radio Sai at Prashanti Nilayam, I am Chandu Vijay and this is Love to Love. 2016 is drawing to a close. The 91st birthday celebrations of our beloved Swami are just over and preparations for Christmas are already seeing the light of the day. Even as one witnesses the changes that come with time, we hear Bhagwan sweetly reminding us that He is beyond time and so are we. All that we need is to live and sanctify the moment with Sai. And Swami says, SAI stands for Service, Adoration and Illumination, or Service or Karma Marga, Adoration or Bhakti Marga, and Illumination or Jnana Marga. And this can take us across the ocean of multitude, births and deaths. Here is what Swami has to say about the three aspects of the path to God, the karma, bhakti and the jnana aspects.
ఇప్పుడు కాదు కాని పూర్వము రైల్వే డిపార్ట్మెంట్ లో బలపడను ఫస్ట్ క్లాస్ సెకండ్ క్లాస్ థర్డ్ క్లాస్ అని కంపార్ట్మెంట్స్ ఉండేటువంటివి.
ఇన్ ద ఓల్డెన్ డేస్ దేర్ ఇస్ దిస్ కేటగరైజేషన్ ఇన్ రైల్వే డిపార్ట్మెంట్ కంపార్ట్మెంట్ ఫస్ట్ క్లాస్ సెకండ్ క్లాస్ అండ్ థర్డ్ క్లాస్.
అయితే ఈ దేహమునికి ఇప్పటికి 70 వర్షములు అయినప్పటికీ నేను ఇంకా రైలు ఎక్కినటువంటి అనుభవం నేను ఎప్పుడు నాకు కనిపించలేదు.
Though age of Bhagavan, the body age is 70, but he has no experience in its railway travel.
Aneka mandi rail lo kurchunte atu itu oogutundi ani cheptuntaru. Adi chudalani naaku aasha.
Bhagavan wants to experience traveling by train, how it tosses, how it jumps like that on the railway track.
Kaani daniki oka kaalam vastundi.
Because the time is ahead anyway.
Ee departments lopala third class aneetundi untundi.
There is third class compartment.
ఈ థర్డ్ క్లాస్ కంపార్ట్మెంట్ లోపల అనేక కష్టములకు కొన్ని నష్టములకు కొన్ని బాధలకు గురి కావాల్సి వస్తుంది.
We are put to a lot of inconvenience and suffering when we sit in third class.
ప్రజలు క్రిక్కిరిసి ఉంటారు.
You find so many people there.
ఇది అంత కంఫర్టబుల్ గా ఉంటుండదు, అంత అనుకూలమైన ప్రయాణం కాదు.
Travel in third class compartment is not that comfortable and convenient.
కొంచెం కష్టకరమైనటువంటి యొక్క ప్రయాణము.
It's very difficult to travel.
ఇంకా సెకండ్ క్లాస్ అనేటువంటి దాంట్లో చక్కగా విశాలంగా కూర్చోవచ్చును, కానీ పండుకొని నిద్రించడానికి వీలు కాదు.
యూ విల్ హ్యావ్ ఎ సిట్టింగ్ ప్లేస్ ఇన్ సెకండ్ క్లాస్ కంపార్ట్మెంట్ బట్ యూ కెనాట్ స్లీప్.
ఇంకా ఫస్ట్ క్లాస్ అనేటువంటి దాంట్లో నీ ఇష్టం వచ్చినట్టు పొరలాడవచ్చు.
ఫస్ట్ క్లాస్ యూ కెన్ రోల్ యాజ్ యూ ఫీల్.
అయితే ఈ మూడు పెట్టెలు కూడాను ఒకే స్టేషన్ కే పోయి చేరుతుంటాయి.
హౌఎవర్ ఆల్ దీస్ త్రీ కంపార్ట్మెంట్స్ గో టు ద సేమ్ స్టేషన్.
ఇంతేకాకుండా దీనికి మరొక కొన్ని ఉపమానములు.
దేర్ ఆర్ అదర్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్స్ టు
ఆర్డినరీ ట్రైన్ ట్రావెల్ అంటుంటారు, అనగా సామాన్యమైనటువంటి ఒక ట్రైన్ లో ప్రయాణం చేయడం ఒకటి.
ట్రావెలింగ్ బై ఆర్డినరీ ట్రైన్ ప్యాసింజర్ ట్రైన్ ఇస్ వన్ టైప్.
నీవు ధర్మవరంలో ఎక్కితే హైదరాబాద్ చేరాలని ఉంటుంటాది.
వెన్ యూ జస్ట్ గెట్ ఇన్ ద ట్రైన్ దేర్ ధర్మవరం యూ వాంట్ రీచ్ హైదరాబాద్.
కానీ ఈ ధర్మవరంలో ఎక్కినటువంటి ట్రైన్ ద్రోణాచలంలో మారవలసి వస్తుంది ఇంకో ట్రైన్ కు.
హౌఎవర్ యూ మే హావ్ టు చేంజ్ దేర్ అట్ దట్ జంక్షన్ ద్రోణాచలం.
ఇది కొంతవరకు ఆర్డినరీ ట్రైన్ ట్రావెల్ అని ఒక దగ్గర ఎక్కి మరొక దగ్గర దిగి సామాను తిరిగి దింపుకొని తిరిగి ఇంకొక ట్రైన్ క్యాచ్ చేసుకోవటము, ఇది కొంచెం కష్టంగా ఉండేటువంటిది.
దిస్ ట్రావెల్ బై ప్యాసింజర్ ట్రైన్ ఆర్ ఎన్ ఆర్డినరీ ట్రైన్ వేర్ యూ హ్యావ్ టు చేంజ్ షిఫ్ట్ అనదర్ ట్రైన్ దేర్.
రెండవ రకమైనటువంటిది త్రూ క్యారేజ్.
సెకండ్ టైప్ త్రూ క్యారేజ్.
ఈ క్యారేజ్ లో నీవు కూర్చుంటే నీవు మారనక్కర్లేదు, ఆ డిపార్ట్మెంట్ వాళ్ళు ఈ క్యారేజ్ తీసుకుపోయి ఆ క్యారేజ్ కి అతికిస్తుంటారు.
ఆన్ ద అదర్ హ్యాండ్ ఇఫ్ యూ సిట్ దేర్ in a through carriage, the railway department will connect this carriage to any other train.
Inka modati taragati ki idi ettuntaranti through train.
But however, it's a through train direct.
Through train jnanamu,
the train that takes you directly to destination.
Through compartment oka bhakti.
Through carriage is devotion.
Ordinary train traveling ఒక విధమైనటువంటి కర్మ ఉపాసన.
ట్రావెల్ బై ప్యాసింజర్ ట్రైన్
కనుక ఈ కర్మ మార్గంలో కొన్ని కష్టములు అడ్డు వస్తుంటాయి.
ఇన్ ద పాత్ ఆఫ్ యాక్షన్ దేర్ ఆర్ సర్టెన్ ఆబ్స్టకల్స్.
ఉపాసన మార్గం లోపల కొన్ని సుఖములు ఉంటుంటాయి, మరి కొన్ని కష్టములు కూడా ఉంటుంటాయి.
ఇన్ ద పాత్ ఆఫ్ వర్షిప్ దేర్ ఇస్ కంఫర్ట్ అండ్ ఇన్కన్వీనియన్స్.
జ్ఞాన మార్గం అనేటువంటి దాంట్లో ఎట్టి బాధలు ఉండవు.
ఇన్ ద పాత్ ఆఫ్ విజ్డమ్ దేర్ ఆర్ నో ప్రాబ్లమ్స్.
కారణం ఏమిటి?
వై?
అది ఒక్కటే తత్వము.
బికాజ్ ఇట్స్ ఓన్లీ వన్.
అద్వైత దర్శనం జ్ఞానం.
అనేక
దర్శనంతో ఉండేటువంటిదే జ్ఞానము.
విజ్డమ్ ఇస్ నాన్ డ్యూయల్.
అనేకత్వంతో కూడినటువంటిదే ఉపాసన.
దట్ విచ్ ఇస్ డ్యూయల్ ఇస్ డివోషన్.
భిన్నత్వంతో కూడినటువంటిదే కర్మోపాసన.
ద డైవర్సిటీ ఇస్ ద పాత్ ఆఫ్ యాక్షన్.
అనేకత్వంలోని ఏకత్వమే జ్ఞానము.
యూనిటీ ఇన్ డైవర్సిటీ ఇస్ విజ్డమ్.
ఏకత్వంలోని అనేకత్వమే భక్తి.
మల్టిప్లిసిటీ ఇన్ యూనిటీ ఇస్ డివోషన్.
కానీ ఏకత్వము అనేకత్వము భిన్నంగా చూసేటువంటిదే కర్మ.
యూనిటీ అండ్ డైవర్సిటీ ఆర్ వ్యూడ్ డిఫరెంట్. దట్ ఈస్ పార్ట్ ఆఫ్ యాక్షన్.
కనుకనే కర్మ అనేటువంటిది ప్రధానమైనటువంటిది.
దేర్ఫోర్ యాక్షన్ ఇస్ మోస్ట్ ఇంపార్టెంట్.
ఈ కర్మ చేతనే మన ఉపాసనను సాధించవచ్చు.
Through action only you can accomplish devotion.
ఈ అన్నింటి యందును కర్మ చాలా ప్రధానమైనటువంటిది.
Of the three, action is most important.
కర్మ చేయక ఎట్టి ఉపాసనను మనం చేయలేము.
Without action you cannot worship.
ఈ ఉపాసన లేక ఎట్టి జ్ఞానమును మనం పొందలేము.
Without devotion you cannot attain.
ఈ మూడింటి యొక్క ఏకత్వమే నిజమైనటువంటి ఆత్మతత్వం.
The unity in this trinity is atomic principle.
కనుక మనము కర్మ వేరని ఉపాసన వేరని జ్ఞానం వేరని భావించి అనేక విధములైనటువంటి మార్పులు కూర్పులు చేసుకుని మనము సందేహాస్పదాలకు అవకాశం అందించకూడదు.
వీ షుడ్ నాట్ కన్సిడర్ డివోషన్ యాక్షన్ విజ్డమ్ సెపరేట్.
Love all, serve all. Everyone is God. In you, Sai Baba, I see myself in you. Sai Baba, you're here to remind us. Start the day with love. Fill the day with love, and end the day with love, yeah. Ba 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 ba. Help ever and hurt never. We are God, let us remember. In you, Sai Baba, I see myself in you. Sai Baba, I am the Atma. You're here to remind us that we are who we seek, Ananda. Sai Baba, I see myself in you. Sai Baba, I am the Atma. Start the day with love, fill the day with love, and end the day with love, 'cause how you live is up to you. The most great peace the earth has ever known is here to stay, yeah. Love all, serve all. To remind us that we are who we seek, Ananda. So start the day with love, fill the day with love, and end the day with love, 'cause how you live is up to you. The most great peace the earth has ever known is here to stay. Start the day with love, fill the day with love, end the day with love, 'cause how you live is up to you. The most great peace the earth has ever known is here to stay, yeah. Love all, serve all. Love all, serve all. Love all, serve all.
Welcome back, dear listeners. In the discourse clip that we played earlier, Swami said that Jnana Marga is the direct path to God. Now, many people may wonder, why do then I have to serve or do bhajans? Why do I have to even consider the bhakti or the karma marga? I don't have to worry about my samiti convener's anger for coming late for a seva program, or worry about whether the bhajan coordinator will allow me to sing or not. I can avoid all this by just getting away from all this and sit in a room to do self-inquiry. Why can't I renounce everything and follow the path of karma, of knowledge? See, you are not alone in this line of thinking, if you ever thought so, because thousands of years ago, Arjuna had the same question. In the battlefield of Kurukshetra, when the Kaurava and the Pandava army were about to face off, Arjuna asks Lord Krishna, O Keshava, when you say that knowledge is superior to action, why do you ask me to do this terrible activity of fighting the war? You know, perhaps Arjuna thought it was better to give up all this and devote himself completely to spiritual pursuits. Then Krishna explains to Arjuna that the solution lay in doing the work with the right attitude and not in giving up the work. Why? Because Lord Krishna says, man will not gain the state of actionlessness by just abstaining from activity, nor does he rise to perfection by mere renunciation, because the mind continues to be active and restless. And our beloved Swami too says the same thing. He says, do not give up on your duties in the world, but do them with the name of God on your lips and invite the grace of God into your mind. Work hard and share the gain with others. The harder you work, the greater the gain and the more you can share. Work hard and, more important still, work together with others in loving kinship. Through activity, man attains purity of consciousness, and with this in mind, one in fact has to welcome action. This is what the Lord says to anyone who is contemplating leaving all work and doing only sadhana. Bhagwan then continues to say, see, you have gained the boon to serve Swami as a result of many lives of penance. Don't squander this opportunity and repent later. Discharge the duties entrusted to you with devotion and dedication. You will attain everything. Let there be no doubt. That is the emphasis given to Karma Yoga both by our beloved Swami and by Lord Krishna. And with that, let us continue today's session on Karma, Bhakti and Jnana, service, adoration and illumination after this musical break.
छाया ऐसा है सुख मेरे मन को मिला।
Welcome back, dear listeners. Continuing on the theme of karma, what is karma? Bhagavan says that karma is an activity which all the human beings have to perform until death releases them from this body prison. Man cannot live for a moment without doing karma. Even when he is sleeping, the breathing process becomes his karma. This karma is thus the cause of man's bondage to this cycle of birth and death. So, to put simply, the life that we lead today is to sort out the consequences of the previous karma done by us in our past lives or what that we are doing in our present life, thereby bringing our karmic balances. We have to finally bring our karmic balances to nil. So the karma works just like a boomerang. The universe operates on certain principles and this energy comes back to us either quickly or in its own time. And you don't get liberated until and unless we neutralize the effects of both past and present karma. Now the law of karma, it works perfectly whether we are aware of it or not. It's like the universal laws. Whether we are aware of it or not, the law of gravity works. Swami says whether we do good actions, whether we do bad actions or no actions, everything has a repercussion. You know, in the Indian context, the Puranas are full of these stories that showcase the effects of the laws of karma. For example, in the epic Ramayana, we have the story of Shravan Kumar. King Dasharatha, once when he went for a hunt, he hears the sound of water, what he thinks as a deer drinking water, and he shoots an arrow. And then he hears, to his astonishment, a human cry. So he runs to that place and he finds that, by mistake, without his knowledge, what he thought was a deer was actually a human man. He was filling water in a pot from the lake there, and that sound, it sounded very similar to a deer drinking water. So Dasharatha goes to this man with lot of anguish, and this, actually he's a boy, not even a man. This boy tells Dasharatha that, "See, King, both my parents are blind, and they are waiting for this water. So the least that you can do now is to take this water to my parents." So Dasharatha takes up the pot of water to his parents, and also he has to break the news to the old parents that their son is no more now. So the Dasharatha goes to meet this boy's parents, and these two old couple, they are devastated listening to this news. So before they pass away, they curse King Dasharatha that how we are now dying of this deep anguish because of the loss of our son, you too will experience the same anguish. And as we all know, King Dasharatha later died in the sorrow pangs of losing his elder son, Lord Rama. So in short, karma is what creates movement. It is what creates action. Karma is what creates progress, and karma is what creates evolution in this universe. So the question comes, if the law of karma is so tightly integrated into the workings of the universe, is there no escape from the law of karma then? Paramahamsa Yogananda says, as wood is reduced to ash by fire, so too the karmas are destroyed when the devotee becomes self-realized. Past and present karma, thus destroyed, can no longer govern or overwhelm the devotee.
Lakshmana Sevita, Lavanya Rama, Dasharatha Nandana Rama, Dasharatha Nandana Rama, Raghuvara Janani Janaki Rama, Raghuvara Janani Janaki Rama.
Welcome back, dear listeners. So karma means action. Now, how can we use karma or action as a path to godhood? We all know any action when transformed into service becomes a path to godhood. So what is service and how is it different from mere work? We always work, if not for others, we work for ourselves. But what is that transforms work into service? You know, Bhagwan lays so much stress on service that he says that hands that serve are holier than lips that pray. So let us recall what Bhagwan has mentioned about service. Because work can be transformed into service only when it follows certain conditions, only when it is carried out in a particular way. And what is that particular way? The first aspect of service that Bhagwan mentions, and it is probably the most important one too, is that it should be done with the feeling of oneness. You know, Bhagwan lovingly clarifies this in an anecdote, in a conversation that he had with an elderly devotee. So once Bhagwan was talking to an elder devotee and Swami asked him, suppose we are walking in a forest and a thorn pricks your leg, what would you do? The devotee said that he would remove the thorn from his leg. And Swami then asked, how would he do it? The devotee replied, Swami, obviously with my hand. Swami then elaborated. He said, the hand removes this thorn instantly from the leg because the moment the thorn pricks the leg, the hand also feels the pain. The legs and the hand are all part of one body, and every part of the body feels the pain. So too, the entire world is the body of God, and when any part of this world feels pain or suffers, every other part should feel it in the heart and should respond to it, just as the hand responds to the thorn in the leg. And this is the way service should be done. Isn't that so beautiful? At a time when the world is rocked by news on terrorism, animal cruelty, political divides and religious feuds, Bhagwan's words always echoes like a soothing balm, alleviating the pain, correcting our paths and guiding our minds. And as we step into this place of oneness, other aspects of service, like acting from a place of purity, selfless love, offering every act to the divine, doing this service silently, and placing the importance on quality and not quantity, all this automatically comes in the system, is it not?
खुशबू देता है सागर सावन देता है जीना उसका जीना है जो अनोख जीवन देता है मधुबन खुशबू देता है
है
देता है जीना उसका जीना है जो रोक जीवन देता है मधुबन खुशबू देता है सागर सावन देता है जीना उसका जीना है जो जीवन देता है मधुबन खुशबू देता है
वेलकम बैक डियर लिसनर्स लेट्स नाउ लिसन टू अ स्टोरी So once a young man was traveling by foot from his hometown to another town on some work. And on the way he met an old man who joined him on his journey because they were going to the same village. And as they walked together, the old man saw a tree and he stopped on his tracks and was looking at the tree. So this young man asked him very sarcastically, "What happened, sir? Is the tree speaking to you or something?" Well, the old man said, "You know, there appears to be a big honeycomb on this tree, which seems to be a burden for the tree. Why don't you help the tree by climbing and removing the honeycomb?" The young man at once excused himself, saying, "I have some urgent work in the next town, so I can't stop here. Please, let us move." And there was this third person who had been listening to this dialogue. He came up to the old man and said, "Sir, I will relieve the tree of its burden." And the old man smiled, and the old man and this young man, they both continued on their way. Within a few moments, this third person who had agreed to help relieve the tree's burden came running. And he said, "Sir, please listen to what I have to say. I removed the honeycomb from the tree and I thought of relieving the tree of its burden as you had requested. Now I have discovered that it contains a special kind of honey. If I sell this in the market, I will earn a lot of money. Please accept my gratitude." And this third person went away, and the old man and this young man, they continued walking. After covering some more distance in their journey, the old man said to the young traveler, "I feel tired. Can we rest for some time?" And both lay down under a tree. Now the old man, he put his ear onto the ground and seemed to listen to something. So this young traveler asked, "Sir, so this tree also talked to you?" The old man said, "I think the ants are talking to me. They say that they have been digging a hole in the earth to live, and something seemed to be blocking their way. They are unable to dig further and they need help. Son, you are young. Why don't you help them?" And the young traveler once again offered the same excuse. He said, "See, sir, I respect what you're saying, but I'm going on an urgent work. We can't waste time like this. Let us continue with our journey." And there was again a third person who had been listening to this conversation between the old man and this young traveler, and he decided to help the ants. So he dug the earth and he found a stone blocking the way. And when he lifted that stone, under it he found a gold vessel full of gold coins. So this person too instantly came running behind this old man and he said, "Sir, when you left the place, I thought of helping the poor ants. So I dug the earth only to remove that stone. But below the stone, I found treasure. And for a poor person like me who has been suffering from poverty, this is indeed a great blessing." And he fell at this old man's feet in gratitude. And after that, the traveler and the old man, they continued on their way once again. And this time they came across a river. And they found a boatman, and when they were crossing the river, they found a fish jumping about in the water. And this young traveler saw this old man was staring at the fish, and he asked once again, "Sir, are you now talking to the fish also?" This old man said, "Yes, a thorn has pricked its mouth. It is requesting us to remove the thorn. Will you do it?" And yet again, this young traveler refused by saying, "You see, sir, I have told you so many times, I am on an urgent work. We cannot keep doing this. Let's continue with our journey, please." And speaking thus, finally, these people, they go down, the boat reached the shore, and they go down from the boat. And the boatman, meanwhile, was listening to this conversation, so he felt like he should help the fish. So he went back into the water, he caught this fish, he removed the thorn from the fish's mouth, and when he did that, he found a gem inside the fish's mouth. So immediately he left the fish, he took the gem, left the fish back into the water and ran back to the shore. He rowed back to the shore and he ran behind this old person and said, "Sir, when I desired to help the fish and remove the thorn, I found a costly gem in its mouth. I am so grateful to you." Now this old man stopped after a while. They were walking, continued walking again, and then he said to the young traveler, "You see, there is this rock on the road. Now this rock is talking to me. The rock is saying that it is very uncomfortable in its place. It requests to be moved." And so this time this young traveler thought, "I have been refusing to help this old person all this while, and everyone who did help, they have seemed to receive some benefit out of it. Someone received gold, someone received a gem. So maybe if I do, I will also receive something." And thinking thus, this young traveler, he bent down and then he moved the rock a little bit from the way. Unfortunately, when he moved the rock, there was nothing underneath the rock. There was no gem, there was no treasure, there was nothing, and he was very disappointed. So this person at once asked this old man, "You see, all others who helped, who listened to you and who helped, they all reaped some benefit by performing the work that was requested by you. But I have not reaped any benefit. Why is that? Have I not rendered help to this rock?" Then the old man explained. He said, "You see, the others performed the work with the only aim of rendering help. Since they did not seek any benefit out of it, they were benefited by it. But you performed this act only with the expectation of some return. You have therefore not reaped any benefit." So, dear listeners, what a profound message. On one occasion, Bhagwan explained how one should serve others. Swami said, "No benefit occurs from rendering service devoid of love. Do not expect any returns for your acts of service. The satisfaction that you derive from rendering service is itself a reward."
With all
Welcome back, dear listeners. So from service or karma aspect of Sai, let us now move on to the second aspect, that is A, which stands for adoration or bhakti. We all know bhakti means to love God, but do we know what it means to love God? So what does it mean to love Swami? You know, on one occasion, in the Trai Vrindavan, during one of the Trai sessions, Bhagwan was sitting on the jhula, and in his inimitable style said, "So boys, do you love me?" Obviously, all the students shouted in unison, "Yes, Swami, we love you." Bhagwan's reaction was, however, very different. He had a look of disapproval. He said, "No, my boys don't love me. They only like me." So the boys were very perplexed by this answer, and they were seeking more clarity. So Swami then went on to explain the difference between love and like in a very beautiful manner. He said, "You see, you have a dog at home, and all along you pet the animal, you caress it, you give it a bath, you want to play with the dog, you want to feed the dog, you really take care of the dog, but do you really follow the dog through each and every moment of its life? Wherever the dog runs, do you run behind it? No, you don't. Then how can you say whether you like or love the dog? But you see, dog, on the other hand, follows you wherever you go." And then Swami said something that probably hurt a lot of those who were present. Swami said, "My boys like me in the same manner. They want to be with me, they want to be around me, they want to feed me, they want to see me happy, but they don't want to follow what I say." So Swami said, to love Swami is to follow Swami. So that is what it means to love Swami. It means to follow what He says, to follow His teachings.
Om Shri Satya Sai. Om Shri Satya Sai. Om Shri Satya Sai. Om Shri Satya Sai. So beautiful, as I give myself to you. You are my guiding light. You make everything so right. walk with you. Om Shri Satya Sai, Om Shri Satya Sai, Om Shri Satya Sai, Om Shri Satya Sai.
Welcome back, dear listeners. So continuing on the theme of adoration or bhakti, a great way to understand the power of devotion and what devotion truly is to understand this beautiful story of Uddhava and the Gopikas of Vrindavan. So one day, Uddhava found Krishna sitting alone in deep thought, and his eyes were moist. So Uddhava was no ordinary person. He knew the real identity of the Lord Krishna. So he asked, Lord, what am I seeing? How can I see tears in the eyes of my Lord? May I know the reason? And Lord Krishna told him that the memories of Vrindavan, Maya Yashoda, Nandabala, all these memories are torturing him. He says, especially the memories of the loving gopis is torturing him. Krishna said, you see, since I left Vrindavan, the residents of Vrindavan, especially my mother, father, Radharani, the gopis and the cowherd boys, they were just lost in my thought at every step of their lives. Everywhere they go, every moment of their lives, they are thinking, oh, look at this place. Krishna is to be running around in this place. Oh, look at this time. At this time, Krishna is to play his flute. Krishna is to joke with us. He is to embrace us. And this is the way they are spending their time. And similarly, I am also missing them very much. I am missing the love of my mother, Maa Yashoda. I am missing the love of my Nandabala. I am missing the pranks of my Gopa friends. And I am missing the unconditional love of Gopis. And listening to all this, Uddhava is shocked. And he wonders, how can the one who provides salvation to all can get entangled in the clutches of Maya? He asks, Lord, how can you cry for the ones who are perishable? And Krishna, ignoring the question, continues describing about the lovely activities of the gopis. Krishna told him that, you see, I'm not crying because I am missing them, but they are in the same condition as I am today, and that I am not able to bear. And then Uddhava tries to reason with Lord Krishna. He says, you see, Lord, it is natural because you love so much your devotees, you love them so much, and obviously you can't see them in pain. So why don't you do this? Why don't you release them from the pain of separation? Why don't you teach them that you are the Supreme Soul and you are not this body, and you reside in them, so you are with them all the time? Why don't you reveal to them your real identity, that you are the Supreme Lord Narayana, I am sure this knowledge will definitely relieve them of all their pains, because obviously this knowledge is the supreme knowledge. And Krishna, with a knowing smile, told Uddhava, "See Uddhava, since I am so busy with my day-to-day tasks, I don't find time to meet them and tell them, impart to them this true knowledge. You absolutely are the only one who can do this job, because see, you are the most intelligent. You were the direct student of Brihaspati, the teacher of gods. I request you, Uddhava, please help me. Please, you should go to Vrindavan. You should talk to the gopis. You should talk to my mother, my father. You should talk to all the cowherd boys and pacify their heart. Please impart them this divine knowledge, and I shall give you this task." So Uddhava was very happy to listen to this. He told Krishna, "Okay, you tell me what exactly you want me to convey to them. I also want you to write down all this in a piece of paper with your royal stamp, so that they know that the news that is coming is authentic. It is coming from you." So Lord Krishna very gladly did that. He wrote down on a parchment everything that he had to mention. He wanted Uddhava to tell Gopikas, and he put his royal seal and he sent Uddhava to Vrindavan. So Uddhava immediately left, and he was considering that, oh, this should be a trivial job, because he is a very intelligent person, and the gopis and gopas, they are illiterate people. So they won't be asking too many tough questions. It should be quite easy to tell them this, everything that Lord Krishna wants me to tell. He was thinking thus, and he went to Vrindavan with that puffed up ego. So as he entered the Vrindavan, he saw the entire land of Vrindavan, their cows and the calves, and the cows are running here and there, and he could hear the sound of milking of the cows. And through all that, finally somehow he found the house of Nandbala and Mayashoda. And Uddhava went to the house, and he was received as a representative of Lord Krishna, and Nand Maharaj offered him a place, and he sat down, and he wanted to know what Lord Krishna, what message Lord Krishna had sent. But before that, Nandbala was so excited, he just got lost in describing the activities of Krishna. So Nanda became so overwhelmed, and he was choking as he was speaking of his love for Lord Krishna. And there was Mother Yashoda sitting there by the side of her husband, and even she, as she was listening, even she started crying listening to the stories of Krishna. And Uddhava was so touched witnessing this. He was there. He was so touched by seeing this expression of love. And the night thus passed by, and it was the next day, and by then the news had spread all over Vrindavan that somebody had come. Lord Krishna had sent someone to speak on his behalf. So all the gopis and gopas, they all had gathered. They came running by singing the glories of Krishna, and they saw Uddhava, and even on Uddhava they could only see Krishna. They were talking as to how his features match that of Lord Krishna, how his dress match, etc. And finally, when they came to know that, oh, he has got a message from the Lord, they gathered around him, and they tell him, come on, we want to know what is Krishna doing. So Uddhava understood that the gopis of Vrindavan were all simply absorbed in the thought, you know, while talking about Krishna, and they had forgotten about all their household business. They even forgot about themselves as their interest in Krishna increased more and more. So finally Uddhava said, "See, dear gopis, I am especially, I am very glad that I am here. I am with a message from the Lord to all of you who all are such gentle and great devotees of the Lord. And Krishna has specifically sent me to you because I am his most confident servitor." And finally Uddhava took out the parchment in which the message was written. And he thought, okay, let me read out. Let me explain it. He thought, instead of simply reading out, it may not make any sense. So I would read it personally, and then I will explain it to them. And thus he started by saying, "My dear gopis and my dear friends." So what happens next, dear listeners? We will be right back after this break. ¶¶ Welcome back, dear listeners. So we were talking about the story of Uddhava and the Gopikas. And so continuing with the story, Uddhava reached Vrindavan with the message from Lord Krishna and was about to deliver the message. And then Uddhava thought, you know, these Gopis and the Brajavasis of Vrindavan, they need some introductory knowledge on the Atmavidya. They need to know about the oneness of God. And so he started his lecture on the teachings of Nirguna Brahman, etc., etc. And here are all the gopis standing and listening, and suddenly they are perplexed. They don't know what Uddhava is talking about, they came here to listen to what Lord Krishna had, the message that Krishna had sent them. They wanted to listen about Krishna. And suddenly this man here is talking of something they can't understand. They're like, who is this Brahman? Where did he come from suddenly? Why is he talking of Brahman? We are here to listen about Krishna. So one of the gopis interrupted him and said, sir, we don't know what is Saguna Brahman, Nirguna Brahman or anything that what you're talking about. We are here to listen about Krishna. We only know about our love for Krishna and his love for us. And suddenly, each of the gopis, they started their own story. They started narrating their story about how they see Krishna everywhere in their daily life. And Uddhava had to go silent. And as he was listening to each of the stories that the gopis were narrating, his eyes slowly opened. He thought, I know everything about the Saguna Brahman, but I never felt the presence of God. These Brajavasis are illiterate, but still they are experiencing oneness with God. And he felt that his bookish knowledge was of no use. And Uddhava was suddenly very appreciative of the extraordinary fortune of the gopis, who relieved themselves of all kinds of material contamination by continuously remembering the Lord. Thus, Uddhava finally desired to be able to constantly pray to be honored by the dust of the gopis' lotus feet. And he took the dust of Vrindavan and he applied all over his face and body. And when he reached Dwaraka finally, he offered his respects by falling at the feet of Lord Krishna, and Krishna picked him up, and obviously Krishna noticed that he was covered all over with the dust of Vrindavan. But ignoring all that, Krishna was like, so, how are my parents? How are Nandabala and how is Mother Yashoda? How are my dear gopis? And did you pacify them? Did you impart that knowledge that I told you to impart? And Uddhava fell at Lord Krishna's feet and said, oh Lord, I know that you sent me there not to teach but to learn from them. And Krishna replied, Uddhava, that is what was missing in your knowledge. Love is as important as that knowledge that you have. Devotion is a part of God himself, so there is no separate need for salvation once you have that devotion. Dear listeners, this verily brings us to a very deeper understanding of devotion or bhakti. In fact, Narada Bhakti Sutra, it begins with the verse, Sa tasmin parama prema rupa amrita swarupa cha, means the supreme love for the Lord is of the nature of immortality. It goes on to say, yellabdva puman siddho bhavati amrito bhavati tripto bhavati, that is, having attained this supreme devotion, the devotee attains perfection and immortality and becomes extremely satisfied. And finally, it says, yajñatva matto bhavati stapto bhavati atma ramo bhavati, having known which, one becomes intoxicated, silent and revels in the self. Now, if you substitute the word devotion, that is, the supreme love for the Lord is of the nature of immortality, if you substitute that with self-realization, what do we get? Self-realization is of the nature of immortality. Having attained this, the devotee attains perfection and immortality and becomes extremely satisfied. Having known which, one becomes intoxicated, silent and revels in the self. Where is the difference between devotion and self-realization? There is no difference. And this is one great aspect of Sanatana Dharma. Every word has layers of meaning. Words like Satya, Dharma, Shanti, Prema, etc. Each one finds a meaning directly correlated to his or her place in the learning curve. And as each one of us evolve in the spiritual path, we don't have to discard anything that you have learned, because we simply find new meaning in everything that we have learned. We start looking at things under a different light, a better light, and the journey feels as refreshing as always, even as we unearth the multitude of hidden layers.
Remind me, my Lord, remind me, my Lord, remind me, my Lord, who I am. Remind me, my Lord, remind me, my Lord, remind me, my Lord, who I am. I am all.
Welcome back, dear listeners. Let us now come to the third aspect of Sai, S-A-I, that is illumination or Jnanamarga or the path of knowledge, the path of self-enquiry, the study of scriptures, all of this to get a glimpse of who we really are. Ramana Maharshi calls this path the most sacred of sacred. In Bhagavad Gita chapter 4, Krishna tells Arjuna that the knowledge that I am giving you was taught by me to your ancestors a long time ago. And Arjuna is perplexed. How is that possible? How can Krishna, who is of a certain age, how could he have taught this to my ancestors? And then Krishna tells him that I am not the body and neither are you. You know, man has been repeatedly told that he is not this body, but unfortunately he forgets it time and again, and this is the reason why the Lord has to incarnate over and over again to teach the same lesson again and again. Humans take birth, they die, and are born again to die again. So it goes on, a seemingly endless cycle of birth and death. And the fastest way out of this is with the knowledge that you are not the body, nor your mind, nor the senses. You are the divine Atma. Once you start with this knowledge as the base, karmic consequences do not dictate your future. And it is not just enough to know this. You know, earlier we had heard the story of Uddhava, who was a very learned man. He knew this, but his knowledge was bookish and was not experiential. So the path of jnana is when the sadhaka tries to understand his true nature by different methods. Even though it is the fastest route, it is not the easiest one. A certain amount of preparation is needed for the sadhaka to be on this path. You know, some people might see this as being selfish. They might say, oh, look at that person. He sits on contemplation on his self all day and does nothing. Or some people actually sees the whole strive to liberation selfish. So is self-realization a selfish act? How can people getting self-realized help the world in general? Now, the answer to this question is not a very simple one and is manifold, but here is one aspect that could fit in the total answer. Swami says, the proper study of mankind is man. It simply means when one understands the nature and progress of a single man, we can know the nature and progress of the mankind at large. Let us absorb this message through the following story. You know, a six-year-old son once had a lot of questions for his father, and this father was busy reading his newspaper or something, so he didn't want to be disturbed. So he just took a world map, he tore it up into different pieces, and he gave his son and he said, okay, assemble it back. He just wanted to engage his son for a while. But to his surprise, this son assembled it in 5 minutes, and he was shocked, and he said, how did you manage to complete it so quickly? And the son replied, you see, I really don't know how to put the world back into its place, but there was a picture of a man behind this map. Once I fixed that image, the whole world automatically, it fell right into place. This is why Swami says, if there is righteousness in the heart, there will be beauty in character. If there is beauty in character, there will be harmony at home. If there is harmony at home, there will be order in the nation. If there is order in the nation, there will be peace in the world. You know, similar to the well-known author of New York bestseller Malcolm Gladwell told in his book The Tipping Point, there is another article by Ken Kayers Jr. This article is titled The 100th Monkey. He says, a global change is imminent once change occurs in a critical number of people. Now, this thought was never alien to us as well. Swami Vivekananda once said, give me 100 energetic young men and I shall transform India. You know, Bharat has always been a treasure trove for great wisdom. And the newer discoveries of today have in fact been the older, lesser known ways of Bharatiya since the beginning of time. So keeping that in mind, let us revisit Mr. Case Jr.'s story. So in 1952, in the island of Koshima, Japan, scientists were giving monkeys, they were studying monkey behavior, so they were giving monkeys sweet potato dropped in sand. And the monkeys obviously relished sweet potatoes, but because the sand was on it, they did not like it very much. So one 18-month-old female monkey, she found a way to solve the problem by washing the sweet potato in a nearby stream. And she taught this trick to her mother and her playmates, who in turn taught their mothers. And in 6 years, all the younger monkeys learned the trick. So all these monkeys would wash the sweet potato in the river and eat it. Now, by the autumn of 1958, that is after 6 years, approximately, let us say about 99 monkeys washed their sweet potatoes before eating it. And then one morning, another monkey joined in the ritual. That is it, and a flip was made. By evening, almost all monkeys were washing their sweet potatoes. Not just that, they found that across the world, monkeys started washing sweet potatoes and other fruits that were had sand, and they started eating it. And this experiment proved that when a certain critical number of people achieve a new awareness, it spreads all over by direct communication from mind to mind. So this 100th monkey phenomenon could mean, even if one more addition happens to a new plane of awareness, it can tip the world to a better place. Isn't that the consciousness shift and the golden age we speak of today? Well, dear listeners, the time in the studios is running, is 3:24 p.m. and it is almost time for me to conclude the show. So let me end today's program with a prayer. Like the blessed Vanaras of the Treta Yuga, may the mankind of today to rise up and play a crucial role in our Master's divine mission. May we be the instruments of change and see the world as one. May we bring His love door to door and heart to heart through service, adoration and illumination, through karma, bhakti and jnana. Until next week, Jai Sai Ram.
Your